And usually the story is that, right? That there's an idea that comes from a conversation, either at a coffee place or at home. And so these four persons from Minnesota decided to have this crazy idea, this revolutionary idea that would eventually impact me and Celeste and other couples who have babies. And that's a changing table that's attached in the public restrooms. So 1986, four business people were having a conversation and they created a company called JBJ, company that later on became Koala Company. Maybe you've heard of Koala. And I was forced to research or investigate, right? How did the changing tables come to fruition? How? Because there was one time that I had Lara and I was with my mother-in-law, you know, and I was looking to change Lara. And I realized that not all public restrooms have a changing top table attached to the wall. And that's how it is usually in life, right? We address certain needs until we actually are living a certain experience that forces us to use something. So there I am. And I said, let me go ahead and do a Google research. How did this happen? And I was thinking about that and I said, wow, 1986, that's just the last few years. That's incredible, right? Now, there's a lot of stores that have begun to have this new tool or this, you know, need, right, that us as parents, you know, young parents are able to use. Now, I was thinking about the different types of changes that our world has endured or has passed through, right? The last 25 years, just 25 years, so many changes. And we all have been through different changes as well. Just the last 2 years and a half with this, you know, pandemic has also brought certain changes. Individually, it has brought changes in the last 2 years and a half. As we enter into different seasons of life, right? From an adolescence, a teen, going into college, or a parent who is with their child and who is celebrating his or her graduation. The parent has to adapt and enter into this new reality of encouraging the son or daughter, right, to go to college and to prepare that child that was once in your hands will eventually leave you and go to college and go to university. And that takes certain adapting, right? It takes a certain thing inside the heart to adapt and to reconcile. Or someone who, as they're aging, people who I've talked to from the community who are facing this moment where they have to make that decision to live in an assisted living center. And so that also takes adapting. It takes a certain reconciling, right, of this new reality. And myself too, as a parent of a four-month-old, it also requires something of me. Also, someone who just started a congregation, who just started to pastor this congregation, who has to kind of, you know, check in with the culture of Crossroads, the culture of Waunakee. And here I am trying to figure out how many people are going to come this upcoming Sunday with WaunaFest. Because I had heard so many stories. But it takes adapting. It takes shifting an attitude, shifting certain behaviors that we're so used to doing. And you may wonder, why is Pastor Luis talking about this? How does this relate to the scripture that we have heard this morning? In the book of Colossians, there are certain things that are happening in that community of faith. Paul is writing to this new community of faith that there was this gentleman, Epaphras, who planted the community of faith in the city of Colossae. And we see Paul writing this short letter to this community that he didn't even know. He hadn't met any of them. He just had heard stories from Epaphras about what the community of faith was going through. And guess what? This community of faith was going through changes, individual changes, just like us 2,000 years ago. But they were still dealing with individual changes, collective changes, community changes, societal changes. And so this community of faith, one of the big pressures they were facing, one of them was the Greek culture, right? There were recent converts to Christianity. They were disciples of Christ. And they were dealing with this pressure because they were trying to worship Jesus. They were trying to follow Jesus. Yet their friends, other family members believed in this mystic polytheism. So Jesus was just one more God-like figure, God-like form. And so these are people wrestling with that because they're like, well, my family believes in this God and this God and this God, and Jesus is just one more God to us. And so they were facing this cultural and religious pressure. And Paul is responding to this because the community of faith has to wrestle with this. And there were other Jewish Christians as well who were facing this cultural and religious pressure of following the strict laws of the Torah. They were following Jesus. But then they were like, well, our ancestors believe. And so then we have Jewish Christian converts facing certain challenges as well, because they're saying, well, my ancestors were following these laws, and now that I am following Jesus, am I supposed to be also following?
Thank you so much.
And so they were also facing these cultural and religious pressures. And what Paul is recommending in this letter is very simple. And I think it also appeals to us this morning, as we are also dealing with different changes of life that are part of aging, that are part of growing up, that is, you know, that are part of seeing our children grow, but also societal changes that's happening. And Paul says it's Christ. In Christ. In Christ there is unity. In Christ there is something that will bind us. And verse 11 is particularly interesting, because Paul is not saying, let's ignore all of our identities and let's just follow Christ. No, it's about appreciating all of our cultural identities, all of ourselves, all of our stories. Sometimes I've heard people tell me, well, I don't see color. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're supposed to see color, right? Because if you ignore color, you're ignoring part of an identity of someone. You're supposed to see it. It's about appreciating everything of ourselves and saying, we are children of God. I'm a child of God. And that's what unites us. And something that I've appreciated in the last weeks that I've been here with each one of you is this hospitality, this love that I've received from each one of you, and the love that you share among each other. And my hope and prayer is that in this place, at Crossroads United Methodist Church, this place that we are sharing can be a place that can model what love is, what the love of Christ is for one another. That no matter where you come from, no matter where your story is, no matter where you have lived or what you have endured, because Paul in this text is mentioning, you are a new being, you are a new self. No matter what we have done in the past, that we can claim God has forgiven us. That we can claim, you know what? I may have an accent, I may not have an accent here, which I think that everyone has an accent, by the way. I'm from the South, so I've heard different accents all around. But no matter where you come from, no matter what your accent is, no matter what the skin color you may have, no matter what you've done in the past, that you can be part of this body of Christ. And you can say, I belong here. This is the space for me. And I think it's prophetic that Crossroads has decided to bring me into the family, to the team, that is sending us a message to all of us, not just here in Wanakee, but all of its surroundings, that we are one body of Christ, that we are one in spirit, and that God will continue bringing other families, other people from different places, and that Crossroads can live to its name. People who just intersect with one another and listen to different types of stories of people, and that we're able to be bold and courageous and see God in those stories. There is God. There is God in Tressie's stories. There is God in Shirley's story. Wow, look what God has been doing in her life. Look at this family. Look what God has been doing along the weeks, months, and years. God has been transforming all of us. And so that's the message for this morning, that we can all be reassured that God is walking with us, with our beautiful differences, uniting us in love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.